Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Broken. It's a word that can, in some instances, seem like a sentence. A doctor comes into the room to consult with the patient and says, "I'm sorry, we've looked at the x-rays and it's broken." A child wails to their parent, "My favorite toy, it's broken!" In the spirit of what's happening for the rest of the country today, a broken play in football leads to a broken series. Broken promises, which lead to broken hearts. Broken. So much of our lives, so much of our world these days seems broken. Broken government, broken support systems, broken families, broken people. And sometimes we don't even recognize just how broken we truly are. Perhaps because we come from a long line of broken people, just like us. If you don't know the backdrop to the reading from Isaiah this morning, there's darkness and brokenness all around in all aspects. Politically, Isaiah speaks to a divided kingdom, and not just a divided kingdom, but at war, off and on with one another, Israel and Judah are. And perilously so with the growth of the Assyrian Empire and other regional powers. Isaiah is speaking to a broken Israel. But they're not just broken politically. They're broken spiritually. They've gone after other gods. They've put up Asherah poles. They've put up altars to Baal on the high places, made golden calves to worship. And Judah's king, well, he is faithless. You see, chapter 9 is really the crescendo that reaches all the way back to chapter 7. If you remember, King Ahaz refusing to ask for a sign. There's brokenness all around. And the people, what are they to do amidst so much brokenness in their leadership and in the people around them? Well, they themselves are broken and groping around in darkness. In chapter 8, Isaiah prophesied this. "The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has refused the waters of Shiloh that flowed gently, and rejoiced over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks, and it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together. but it will come to nothing. Into all this brokenness, into the division, into the darkness of these times, Isaiah speaks light. He speaks life. He speaks wholeness. Chapter 9 begins. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Now note, when Isaiah is speaking this, he's speaking in the past tense, but these things have yet to happen. Because with God, when he speaks, it is as sure as if it has already happened. This prophecy is for not only Israel in this time, because Rezin and Pekah, the two kings of the day that Ahaz was scared of, Isaiah had already prophesied that they would come to nothing, and surely they will in time. Assyria, God's judgment agent on Israel, it too will come to nothing. All of the hosts that are arrayed against God's people eventually will come to nothing. And there will be joy for his people. Not because of who they are or what they have done, but because of who God is and what he does for them. You see, the day of Midian is a callback to the judges, the time of Gideon, when Israel was oppressed because they had lost their way and they cried out for a savior. And so God delivered them, not through their might. The thousands of men gathered for battle, God said, that's too many. You'll think you did this. He separates the men out down to 300. And if you were a man in that day that was still left, you're probably looking around going, I don't know how this is going to work. And how does God deliver Israel? By his mighty hand and by light. As they gather around the camp of Midian and break their jars to reveal their torches and blow the trumpet, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And God throws Midian into confusion, and they slaughter themselves. And then Gideon pursues the remnants and takes care of all of them. Just in that day of the judges, that is what Isaiah proclaims here will happen to all those who array themselves against Judah. And it's a foretelling of what Jesus would do for all people. See, when the time was at hand, Jesus went up into Galilee, into Capernaum by the sea, so that he would fulfill this very prophecy. And what does he do? He heals people. He proclaims the word. And all of Syria proclaims his fame, and people come out to him to be healed and to hear the good news. Because sometimes broken is a good thing. Broken is good when it allows us to submit ourselves to the one who can make us whole. Broken is good when the Lord breaks and hinders every plan of evil that keeps us from hallowing his name or keeps his kingdom from coming. And so that's why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, "Thy will be done." And Luther explains that to mean that we know that God's will is done without our prayers, but in this petition, we pray that it would come to us also. And what is God's will? That he would break everything that hinders our love for him and shatters every plan for evil and every scheme of the devil. Broken is good when it is a God who loves us, who takes our place on the cross and gives his life as a ransom for the many. Broken is good when we take and eat the bread which is broken for us, which is Christ's body, given for you, that you might have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Broken is good when the kingdom of heaven breaks in. It creates the reality which God has always desired for his people, to live in innocence, righteousness, and blessedness. Broken is good when we break from our habits and our sins that separate us from God, not by our power, not by anything that we can set up, but by the Spirit of God which dwells in you from your baptism, trusting him to do that work. And when we allow him to do that work, we are made whole. We are made whole so that we can be the body of Christ together, who comes and worships him in thanksgiving and praise for all that he has done for us. When we come together and put together our time and our talents and our treasures to build buildings, not because the buildings are wonderful, but because the things that happen in them are beautiful. Because God is present in that building. Because his word is proclaimed, his fellowship is enjoyed, and his kingdom is made whole in that place. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a joyous occasion today, because we dedicate this space that is right next to us, knowing that before we even set our minds to it, God had already planned for us to build it and for his name to rest there. And that as his name is there, his people would gather in faith, their lives would be changed, and more people would come to know the life and the salvation that only comes through Jesus. And so rejoice. And be glad, because though you are broken, God is making you whole. And the peace of the Lord, which passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.